Welcome to the Fuqua Show for the stories, the lessons, and the passions of Team Fuqua. I'm Thomas Chang, and today's guest is one of our new first years, Section 5. Let's give a big welcome to Mehta Bhardwaj. Welcome, Mehta.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, Mehta? How's summer term? How's the beginning of your Fuqua journey?
I'm doing great. Summer term's definitely intense, but you know, we're going through it and my C-lead's amazing. Shout out to my C-lead.
So I'm so excited for you to be here today and for you to talk about your experience as a speech language pathologist, which I don't know if many listeners even know what that is. So really excited to dive in and chat about it.
For sure.
I'll give a brief intro of Mehta. Mehta Bhardwaj is a first-year MBA student in Fuqua's class of 2025. She lived in six different places during her childhood and eventually settled down with her family in the Dallas area. After earning a master's degree in communication sciences and disorders, she worked as a speech-language pathologist in Texas schools and in home health. Outside of work and school, she loves cooking, Disney movies, and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, I do love the Cowboys.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Yes. But what else, especially for your new classmates, new Fuquans, what are some things that people might not know about you yet?
I think something quirky or unique that I've done was teaching my dogs how to communicate in the pandemic. So I bought these like little talkers, this talking system, I think it's called Fluent Pet. And I would train my dogs on using those buttons to be able to communicate with us. Because sometimes they were just barking. I'm like, what are you barking about? And so I would hopefully get my dog to like communicate using the buttons instead of just like barking at my face.
How do you do that? I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who really, really want and need that.
I don't think I was like super successful. It's not like those TikTok videos that you see where it's like the dog's able to say like multiple things and make sentences. I think that what I did was kind of what I did with my students, which is kind of strange to say, but you know, that, I mean, that's just how it rolls. I use treats and incentives to like have them communicate like a certain thing. And then I would just make sure I reinforce that. For example, if I was using the outside button, which is one button that my dog got pretty early on, I would just have a treat, have her hit the outside button, then take her outside and then bring her back in. By outside, that was like the balcony area because she likes to people watch and animal watch. So she'll just sit out there for hours sunbathing.
Wow. Forget about the career. I want to do a whole podcast episode about this, but that's a great introduction into your work as a speech language pathologist.
For sure.
I would love to hear, what is speech language pathology or SLP and how did you end up in it in the first place?
So the world of speech pathology is huge. I think that my piece of it was very small. We work on things like articulation, which is your typical way of like saying certain sounds. We also work on expressive and receptive language. So that's like your language that you have in your head and then what you're able to say. We also work on different things like fluency, so being able to speak fluently, and then voice disorders, which sometimes it goes with like vocal abuse, but it also goes with diseases like Parkinson's disease. And then if you go into like the medical field, you also have things like swallowing disorders and you also have cognition. So that's all to say is our scope of practice is huge. And what I did was a small piece of it. So I worked with kids. So I worked in a school again, and I also worked in home health. And what I would usually do is work on expressive and receptive language. And I would also work on social skills with a lot of my students with autism. And I think that was my favorite part of my job, was being able to work with students. I actually started my journey as a speech therapist in high school. And there was this class called Education and Training at Plano Senior High School. And you were a teaching assistant at a specific, usually elementary school, because we're high schoolers and they didn't want to put us at like a middle school or a high school. It didn't make any sense. But I chose to venture out and work in a self-contained unit. And usually that's like your students who have intellectual disabilities. So I worked in that unit for a while. And I really liked working with those students. And some of the teachers were like, hey, have you heard of being a speech therapist? And I was like, no. And I looked into it. And one of the colleges that were nearby, UT Dallas, it was really good in that program. So that's how I kind of got my foot in the door of like wanting to become a speech therapist and wanting to help others communicate more effectively and making a big impact on people's lives.
What did you like about it to want to continue pursuing it versus just this was a fun thing to do in high school?
Yeah, I think that like the biggest thing for me was working with kids. I knew that I wanted to work with kids in any environment. Even when I thought about like dentistry, I wanted to be a pediatric dentist. I think that for me, the idea of working with students and seeing them grow was something that I craved. Like, I really enjoyed making their families see their success. Maybe it's like a thing of this is very important to the family. The child's ability to communicate is so important to the family that it can be life-changing for you to help a child at that level, for them to even say something like, I love you, to a parent. And I really like the idea of helping them there.
That is so powerful. Yeah. It's something most of us don't even think twice about.
Yeah.
How do you then go about working with a child and getting them to that point where they're able to say, I love you, to their parents?
I think it depends on the kid, because I mean, it's hard to say, because for some of my students in the schools, they were nonverbal, meaning like they weren't able to actually verbally speak. They were able to nonverbally communicate. They were able to communicate a lot with their actions and their eye gaze and stuff like that. So for them, we would get like devices to be able to have them speak. It was interesting because like when I came into the field, I did not think that I was going to be working with medically fragile kids in a school environment. I thought that that was like a medical thing. And I was like, that's not something that I'm ever going to do. When I came to my job, I remember in the interview, the head of the speech department had asked my principal, oh, do you have a structured self-contained unit on your campus? And my principal was like, yes. I was just sitting there in the interview like, what is that? I didn't ask them. I should have probably asked them at that time. But when I went there my first day, these students were like wheelchair bound. They were interacting with me. But in that moment, I was like, I am literally talking to a wall. Like, I don't know how to communicate with these kids. As a speech therapist, what is my role? How am I supposed to get these kids to communicate with me? And I think that in that moment, I learned a lot from my teachers. And it went back to this thing of nonverbal communication is so important. And these kids definitely have a purpose and they are able to communicate certain things. And it was just me having to get to their level and understand how they're interacting with their environment, how they're interacting with their teachers, and also getting their parents to understand that that's how they communicate.
Do you have any memorable stories of students who you worked with?
I do. So one of my eighth graders last year, he was working on the R sound. So obviously in middle school, kids are mean. Like they're ruthless. So he would get bullied a lot for not being able to say the R sound. When he got to eighth grade, he was just working on the RL. And granted, I typically would not keep students if they're just like working on one sound if they didn't really care. This student was a hardworking student. Sometimes he would come to me and he would say, Miss Maida, I've been practicing my RL sounds in the mirror. He would like look at himself in the mirror and practice the sounds. And I was like, okay, this student really wants to improve and they want to say, they want to get this sound down, because the problem is the RL sound is the girl sound. So like being able to say the word girl also has the RL sound in it. And I was joking around to his dad in one of the parent meetings and I was like, I'm not letting your son get dismissed from speech before he can get a girlfriend. So I would always joke around with the kid. I'm like, you're going to have to be able to pick up girls at some point. You're going to get this sound down. And it was his eighth grade year. We were in speech. We kept practicing that sound. He would look in mirrors and he would try and get it correct. And he finally said it. I still have the recording on my phone. And it gave us both goosebumps. Like the fact that he was able to say that sound correctly. And he goes, oh my gosh, did I just say it? And I was like, yes, you did. You just said the word girl. And then he immediately goes, girlfriend. And I was like, yes, girlfriend. And then he also took out Siri, this was super interesting. I didn't think that he would do this. He took out Siri and said the word girlfriend. And he's like, Siri can understand me. And I immediately called his mom and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know your son was finally able to say the RL sound. We might be looking at dismissal soon. And we practiced it obviously for a couple more months. And before he graduated from middle school, we eventually dismissed him. And I remember at the dismissal meeting, I'm like, I want you here. And he's like, you're actually going to dismiss me? And I'm like, yeah, that's why I want you in the meeting, because I want you to actually see me dismissing you. And he was like, I can't believe it. I've been in speech therapy since I was 5 years old, and I'm finally leaving. And it was just this big moment of being able to accomplish something for him and being able to see that in his eyes was just, it was great. It was a great experience.
That is an incredible story. And for listeners, I'm honestly kind of tearing up.
Honestly, I teared up in the car when I thought about that question. I was like, what's a good story that I can tell? And I just thought about that student. And that's, yeah, I teared up in the car. That's why I'm not tearing up right now.
Well, it's so inspirational.
Yeah.
I hate to take it in the other direction, but
sure.
Did you have students that were more challenging where you didn't get to those breakthroughs with them?
Yes. And although those students can be challenging, I think a lot of it was environmental factors. I worked in a low-income school, and this student was with me for expressive and receptive language disorders, and he had difficulty reading. And I think the reason he acted out with me and his teachers, I'm not going to blame it on him, because I think it's this idea of students will demonstrate behaviors when they feel like things are challenging. So I think that there are situations where I might struggle with a student, but if anything, it is the education system's job to help the student succeed. And I think that there was more that we could do in that time as a special education department, which we did end up doing. We gave him a lot more support. And I'm hoping, I'm obviously not with him right now, I'm hoping that he is more successful this year. I did check in with the speech therapist at my campus. I checked in with her and I was like, how was this student? And she was like, he did very well. And I'm like, one of two things. He could be in his honeymoon phase, or it could be that the supports that we put in place are actually helping the student. And I really hope for the best, because he's going off to high school next year. And I hope that he's getting the help that he needs before he goes into the real world. And it's just important for the student to get all the support that he needs now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something I wanted to touch on as well. It's incredible that you and all the other speech therapists are working so hard with these individual students.
And educators, because they're, and I know you're a previous educator too. The speech therapists have them for a very small period of time. I think that one of the jobs of a speech therapist is also educating the educators and us learning from each other. Educators have a huge role in getting these students up to speed. And sometimes that can be so tiring and it can lead to like so much burnout. And I don't think obviously the education field would be what it is without all the educators out there.
What I'm hearing is that it really needs to be a team effort.
1000%. Yeah, it's definitely a team effort. And I guess I knew that when I went into the careers outside of the schools that I may not have a team. And I think that's why I chose Fuqua in and of itself, because I knew that I needed that team mentality to be able to succeed, because that's just the environment that I'd been in. And I guess that kind of relates back to Team Fuqua, is if the team's really good, then you're going to have a successful time. But if it's not, then it's going to be kind of difficult.
And so what was it like working with the parents of these students?
So for me, I think that the one thing that I wanted to do as a speech therapist, especially in the schools, was build a good rapport with my parents so that I'm able to help the students meet their goals. I think that one thing that I learned from both home health and the schools is if you don't have the parents' buy-in, then you're not going to see the growth in the student. Going into the field of education, you would never think of your students' parents as mentors, but that's kind of what happened to me. I learned how to advocate for my students and not back down because of my parents and seeing how passionate they were about getting their students or getting their kids to get the help that they needed, because that's what was most important to them.
And you mentioned going out of the schools and working with different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. I know you worked with adults as well.
I did.
What was that like, and how is it different from working with children?
Yeah, I think for me, when I work with adults, I worked in a voice clinic, and I just felt like adults sometimes in the setting that I was in were maybe a little bit more motivated and a little bit more aware of their disorders. So it really impacted them at like an emotional level. And they wanted to be able to communicate with their grandkids, because a lot of the adults that I worked with were a lot older. They wanted to build that relationship with them. And obviously their speech disorders sometimes were impacting that relationship.
And what kind of disorders? You mentioned earlier some people who just couldn't speak at all.
Yeah.
You mentioned the students with the RL who couldn't make particular sounds.
So with adults, I only worked with one set of them. I worked specifically in a voice clinic that specialized in adults that were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And if you know a little bit about Parkinson's disease, you know that it can affect your motor programming. And so a lot of times it would affect their voice in the sense that it would make them have tremors, or it would make their voice a little bit more breathy. So I was working with them to have control over their voice, and we would do like a structured set of vocal exercises with them. But it lasted for like a summer, and then I went back to the kids immediately.
Well, it sounds like it was a really rewarding profession. What made you decide to leave and come to Fuqua?
I think for me, I gained a lot from being a speech therapist. I learned that there were a lot of transferable skills. I think that the one thing that I wanted from my career was upward trajectory. And my dad had told me that I wasn't going to get it from the world of speech therapy. And I figured, I just, you know, being a naive student, I didn't listen to him. So I knew that I needed to pivot into a field where I was challenged. And granted, working with children is challenging, but I wanted to take my knowledge and put it into a field where I am working on solving problems more often and building strategic plans. So for me, my favorite part of my job as a speech therapist was going into weekly meetings, or sometimes it was biweekly, depending on what time of the school year it was, and working on a plan to help the students, again, be successful. I wanted to help people be successful in what they want to do, what their goals are. And again, I got that from the world of speech therapy, but I also knew that there were jobs out there where that is their sole job. And that's kind of the path that I wanted to take.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. And so how do you think some of those previous experiences might help you here at Fuqua and in your internship, your job, wherever you go after this?
So I think obviously the world of speech therapy, you learn to become a great communicator and you're able to teach other people how to communicate effectively. The education piece will be really important to take into the corporate world, because I think everyone at some point will have to be an educator. So even if it's not part of your job description, you're always going to have to teach someone. And that past of being an educator will definitely help me with that. And obviously being able to work in collaborative teams. Again, Team Fuqua is also like Team Carpenter Middle School.
I remember when we talked before this, you mentioned that you didn't find anybody with your background in an MBA program.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
Okay. That might be a stretch, because I think there are speech therapists that try and do the MBA process but in online programs, which is fine. I think that in the top 25 schools, it was very hard to find a speech therapist that was like previously in the program. I found a lot of like physical therapists. I found a lot of nurses. I found a lot of educators. But I didn't find any SLPs. And I think for me that although there were some skills that were like common between some of those other occupations and I just felt like I was a little bit more lost in the process and I was building my own path. And I'm hoping that if a speech therapist eventually listens to this podcast, they know that there are other people out there that have done this and they were successfully able to get into a program and they're able to, you know, find a job outside the world of speech therapy where they're able to use their skills in a different way. And for me, I guess the thing that got me interested in Fuqua was the HSM program. I think that that really helped bring my background knowledge of being a speech therapist, working as a practitioner into the world of business. And I've learned a lot about the healthcare field. I think going into HSM, I was like, oh, I know quite a bit about the healthcare industry. And then I go into class and I'm like, I know nothing about healthcare. And it's just, there's a lot that you can learn in industries that you think you know a lot about.
I ask this to a lot of our new first years. No one gets here alone. Who do you want to shout out?
So I think my biggest cheerleader is my fiance.
What's their name?
His name is Brish, so shout out Brish. His full name is Brijesh, so shout out Brijesh. But I think that he was my biggest cheerleader from the get-go. I remember telling him that I wanted to apply to MBA programs, and he essentially was like, yeah, you can get in. And I was like, how in the world do you know that I can get into these programs? They're really hard to get into. And he was like, no, you got this. I'm like, you do not know what you're talking about. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And obviously,
He was right.
But like, also, he's still supporting me and he's still encouraging me through this process. He's the reason why I'm here today doing this podcast, because he talked to you about my background. He's just my biggest rock. I think that I would also want to shout out my Carpenter community, Carpenter Middle School. I love them to death, and they definitely were my biggest cheerleaders. My Carpenter family and my Plano ISD family were probably my biggest rocks through the application process. One of the biggest things that my Plano ISD and Carpenter family taught me was to lead with empathy, understanding and accepting other people's backgrounds, and understanding and accepting people for who they are goes a long way. So I just want to shout them out for, you know, teaching me that at a young age.
I love that. And I think that it's so fitting with your background to really just hone in on that point that everyone has a voice and deserves to be heard.
For sure. Everyone definitely does have a voice. And yeah, they definitely deserve to be heard.
Well, Mehta, thank you so much. It was so inspiring hearing about your journey here to Fuqua. I'm excited for you moving forward. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
And I'll see you around.
Yeah, for sure.